The Australian coastline is undoubtedly beautiful, but it's also dangerous, with dozens of Australians losing their lives along our shores each year. This morning, we're joined by Associate Professor Richard Franklin of James Cook University. He's part of a team conducting a survey looking at citizen lifesavers all around the country. He joins us to find out a little bit more. Richard, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jess, and good morning.
So what inspired you and the team to undertake this survey?
Well, we've been looking at people who drown while undertaking rescues for a number of years and trying to find out what motivates people to do it and why they get into trouble. So we've got a bit of information about the people that die, but we actually don't know anything about those that go out and do it and live and survive, and we never hear about it. So the idea was to get out and say, well, hang on, let's go survey them. Let's find out what they've done, how it happened, what were the circumstances that led to it, and maybe that can help us develop better ways of keeping them safe when they do it.
How many citizen life-saving attempts are made each year? Do we have a number? Do we know how commonly this is happening in Australia?
We do not, and that's part of the reason why we're doing this, is to try and get a bit of a handle on, who's doing it, when, how often, where. And so, we're looking at the coastal areas where we get a lot of these things going, but also inland Australia as well, even backyard swimming pools. So we're looking at all the different places where people have had to jump into the water and rescue somebody that hasn't been trained to do it. So we're not, we've got a lot of information about sort of our lifesavers and lifeguards, but nothing on kind of the citizen that just says, oh, I'm going to rescue somebody, in they go and pull them out.
Oh my goodness. And see, when I initially heard of this campaign or this project, I thought that it was mainly kind of along the beaches, but I didn't even consider inland kind of ponds, lakes, swimming pools, the whole lot. We are kind of a country obsessed with water, aren't we?
We do. We love water and we love being around it, but unfortunately we also get into trouble. And I mean, some of the stuff that we've found in the past certainly is that, if it's a young child that gets into trouble, parents will just jump in without thinking about, their own safety, and that does get them into trouble. But who can blame them? Why would anybody stop? And so, we're hoping to get a little bit more about, who's doing the other ones and, why and what happened, and maybe obviously try and prevent people getting in trouble in the first place, but keep those that do it safe.
So, that's the main goal of collecting this information, is to then use it to keep people safe. How do you think you'll go about this?
Well, part of the reason for doing this, we just don't know how people are getting in. I mean, some education stuff might be useful, but it might be that we need to have, proper devices to throw to people to keep them afloat. It might be that there are particular hotspots around the country where either, new services need to go in or new ways of rescuing people. It might be that we want to get stuff into schools so that, as you go through school, you learn how to do this so that later on, if you need to call on it, you have the skills. So, we're not too sure. We're also going to look at, as part of a wider study, think about what devices can be used in attempting a rescue and which ones work better than others and how well does just a person with no skills go with using sort of a rescue device as well.
Have you been surprised by the information collected so far? Is there anything that stood out as a bit unexpected?
We haven't really got into the analysis of it. I think some of the things are quite interesting, just the numbers that are coming through. We're surprised by how many there are. We had a vague inkling because we've been doing some work with people that do surfing, and the rescues that they do. So we know that it occurs quite a lot, but what we didn't know was all the other people and the circumstances. So it is really interesting to hear about it. And it's great that we've got so many people that are kind of willing to put their lives on the line and rescue others.
It is. It's quite encouraging. It's quite heartwarming to see that Aussies are so willing to jump in, put their own lives on the line to save that of another person. Are we still asking people to fill out the survey? Or are we still wanting people to get involved?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. So the survey will be open for another couple of weeks. And we do want people to get in and do it. And we're also looking for people that have been rescued. So not just people that do the rescues, but also those that have been rescued. So what were they doing at the time, and how did they feel with the people that were rescuing them? So we're trying to look at this from sort of, 360 degrees, if you like. But, one person who did the rescue, the person who was rescued, and then we've got some death information to try and build a really solid picture about what's going on. And as I said, just we really do want to try and keep people safe around the water.
Richard, you're doing absolutely amazing work. Good luck with the rest of the survey and all the analysis to come. We're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for joining us.